Welcome to Stories from the Shadows. Haunted tales from the golden age of ghost stories and supernatural horror fiction. I'm Marda, reading Sweeney Todd. Chapter 12. The handle of Sweeney Todd's shop door turned, and a man presented himself, and Todd saw that the visitor was a substantial-looking farmer with dirty top boots, as if he had just come off a journey.
"Well, master," said the visitor, "I wants a clean shave."
"Oh," said Todd, not in the best of humors. "It's rather late, but I suppose you would not like to wait till morning. I don't know if I have any hot water."
"Oh, cold will do."
"Cold? Oh dear, no. We never shave in cold water, and if you must, you must, so sit down, sir. We will soon settle the business."
"Thank you, thank you. Oh, I can't go to bed comfortable without a clean shave, do you see? I've come up from Braintree with beasts on commission, and I'm staying at the Bull's Head, you see."
"Oh, indeed," said Todd as he adjusted the shaving cloth. "The Bull's Head?"
"Yes, Master Roy, I brought up a matter of 220 beasts. Oh, I did, do you see, and I was on my pony, as good a stepper as you'd wish to see. I sold them all, do you see, 550 pound.
Oh, good work that, do you see, ho, ho,
and only 42 of them was my beasts, do you see. I got a missus at home and a daughter my girl's called Joanna."
Up to this point, Joanna had not suspected that the game had begun, and that this was no other than Sir Richard himself, most admirably disguised, who had come to put an end to the malpractices of Sweeney Todd. But his marked pronunciation of her name at once opened her eyes to that fact, and she knew that something interesting must soon happen.
"And so you sold them all?" said Todd. "Yes, master, oh, I did, and I've got the money in my pocket now, and banknotes. Oh, I never leaves my money in ends, do you see, master? Save mine, save fine, you see. Oh, I carries it about with me."
"A good plan, too," said Todd. "Charlie, some hot water, there's a good lad, and Charlie."
"Yes, sir."
"While I'm finishing off this gentleman, you may just as well run to the temple, to Mr. Sergeant Toldronos, and ask for his wig. We shall have to do it in the morning. May as well have it first thing in the day to begin upon. And you need not hurry, Charlie, as we shall shut up when you come back."
"Very good, sir."
Joanna walked out, but went no further than the shop window, close to which she placed her eyes, so that between a pomatum jar and a lot of hair brushes, she could clearly see what was going on.
"Nice looking little lad, that," said Todd's customer.
"Very, sir, an orphan boy. I took him out of charity, poor little fellow, but then we ought to try to do all the good we can."
"Oh, just so. Oh, I'm glad I've come to be shaved here. Mine's a rather strong beard, I think, do you see?"
"Why, sir, in a manner of speaking," replied Todd, "it is a strong beard. I must give you another lather, sir, and I'll get another razor with a keener edge now that I have taken off all the rough, as one may say, in a manner of speaking."
"Oh, I shall do."
"No, no. Don't move, sir. I shall not detain you a moment. I have my other razors in the next room, and will polish you off now, sir, before you will know where you are."
"Well, well, a clean shave is a comfort, but don't be long, for I want to get back, do you see?"
"Not a moment. Not a moment." Sweeney Todd walked back into his back parlor, conveying with him the only light that was in the shop, so that the dim glimpse that up to this time Joanna from the outside had contrived to get of what was going on was denied to her, and all that met her eyes was impenetrable darkness. Oh, what a world of anxious, agonizing sensations crossed the mind of the young and beautiful girl at that moment, She felt as if some great crisis in her history had arrived, and that she was condemned to look in vain into darkness to see of what it consisted. The moment his back was turned, the seeming farmer sprang from the shaving chair as if he had been electrified. And yet he did not do it with any appearance of fright, nor did he make any noise. It was only astonishingly quick. And then he placed himself close to the window and waited patiently, with his eyes fixed upon the chair, to see what would happen next. In the space of about a quarter of a minute, there came from the next room a sound like the rapid drawing back of a heavy bolt. And then, in an instant, the shaving chair disappeared beneath the floor. And the circumstances by which Sweeney Todd's customers disappeared was evident. There was a piece of the flooring turning upon a center, and the weight of the chair, when a bolt was withdrawn by means of simple leverage from the inner room, weighed down one end of the top, which by a little apparatus was to swing completely round, there being another chair on the undersurface, which thus became the upper, exactly resembling the one in which the unhappy customer was supposed to be polished off. Hence was it in that moment, as if by magic, Sweeney Todd's visitors disappeared, and there was the empty chair. No doubt he trusted to a fall of about 20 feet below on a stone floor to be the death of them, or at all events to stun them until he could go down to finish the murder and to cut them up for Mrs. Lovett's pies. After robbing them of all the money and valuables they might have about them. In another moment the sound as of a bolt was again heard, and Sir Richard Blunt, who had played the part of the wealthy farmer, feeling that the trap was closed again, seated himself in the new chair that had made its appearance with all the nonchalance in life as if nothing had happened. It was a full minute before Todd ventured to look from the parlour into the darkened shop, and then he shook so he had to hold by the door to steady himself. "Oh, that's done," he said. "That's the last, I hope. It is time I finished. I never felt so nervous since the first time. Then did I quake a little. How quiet he went. I've sometimes had a shriek ringing in my ears for a whole week." It was a large, high-backed piece of furniture, that shaving chair, so that when Todd crept into the shop with a light in his hand, he had not the remotest idea it was tenanted. But when he got round it and saw his customer calmly waiting with the lather upon his face, the cry of a horror that came gurgling and gushing from his throat was horrible to hear. "Why, what's the matter?" said Sir Richard. "Oh, God! The dead! The dead! Oh, God!" cried Todd. "This is the beginning of my punishment. Have mercy, heaven! Oh, do not look upon me with those dead eyes!" "Murderer!" shouted Richard in a voice that rang like the blast of a trumpet through the house. In an instant he sprang upon Sweeney Todd and grappled him by the throat. There was a short struggle, and they were down upon the floor together. But Todd's wrists were suddenly laid hold of, and a pair of handcuffs most scientifically put upon him by the officers who, at the word murderer, that being the preconcerted signal, came from the cupboard where they had been concealed. "Guard him well, my men," said the magistrate, "and don't let him lay violent hands upon himself." Joanna rushed into the shop and clung to the arm of Sir Richard, crying, "Is this all over? Oh, is it indeed all done now?" "It is, Miss Oakley." The moment Todd heard these few words addressed to Charlie Green, as he thought him, he turned his glassy, bloodshot eyes upon Joanna and glared at her for the space of about half a minute in silence. Then, although handcuffed, he made a sudden and violent effort to reach her. But he was in two experienced hands, and he was held back most effectually.
He struck his forehead with his fettered hands, making a gash in it from which the blood flowed freely. As in infuriated accents he said, "Ah, fool, fool, to be cheated by a girl! I had my suspicions that the boy was a spy, but I never thought for one moment there was a disguise of sex. Oh, idiot! Idiot! And who are you, sir?" "I am Sir Richard Blunt." Sir Richard Blunt, turning to Joanna, said, "Run over the way to your friends at the fruiterer's. All is over now, and your disguise is no longer needed." Joanna did not pause another moment. "Shut up the shop, Crotchet," said Sir Richard, "and then get a coach. I will lodge this man at once in Newgate, and then we will see to Mrs. Lovett." At this name, Todd looked up. "She's escaped you," he said. "I don't think so," responded Sir Richard. "But I say she has. She's dead. She fell into the Thames this morning and was drowned." "Oh, you allude to your pushing her into the river this morning near London Bridge," said Sir Richard. "I saw that affair myself." Todd glared at him. "But it was not of much consequence. We got her out. She's all right again now at her shop in the Bell Yard." Todd held his hands over his eyes for some moments, and then he said in a low voice, "It is all a dream, or I am mad." "I entrust you with him, Crotchet. Take him away. I give him entirely into your hands." Upon this, Crotchet slid his arm beneath that of Sweeney Todd, and looking in his face with a most grotesque air of satisfaction, he said, "Come up, come up." He then, by an immense exertion of strength, hoisted Todd completely over the doorstep, after which, catching him with both hands about the small of his back, he pitched him into the coach. "My eye," said the coachman, "has the gentleman had a drop too much?" "He will have," said Crotchet, "some of these odd days." "To Newgate, to Newgate." Crotchet rode inside along with Todd, for fear he should be dull, he said. And the other officer got up outside the coach, and that off it went to that dreadful building that Todd had often grimly smiled at as he passed, but into which, as a resident, he had never expected to enter. Sir Richard Blunt remained in the shop of Sweeney Todd. The oil lamp that hung by a chain from the ceiling shed a tolerable light over all objects, and no sooner had the magistrate fastened the outer door, after the departure of Crotchet with Todd, than he stamped 3 times heavily upon the floor of the shop. This signal was immediately answered by 3 distinct taps from underneath the floor, and then the magistrate stamped again in the same manner. The effect of all the stamping and counter-signals was immediately very apparent. The great chair, which has played so prominent a part in the atrocities of Sweeney Todd, slowly sank, and the revolving plank hung suspended by its axle, while a voice from below called out, "Is it all right, sir?" "Yes, Crotchet has taken him to Newgate. I am now all alone. Come up." "We're coming, sir. We heard a little disturbance, but the floor is very thick, you know, sir, so we could not take it upon ourselves to say exactly what was happening." "Oh, it's all right. He resisted, but by this time he is within the stone walls of Newgate. Let me lend you a hand." Sir Richard Blunt stooped over the aperture in the floor, and the first person that got up was no other than Mr. Rankley, the tobacconist. "How do you feel after your tumble?" said Sir Richard. "Oh, very well. The fact is, they caught me so capitally below, it was quite easy. Todd did not think it worth his while to come down to see if I were alive or dead." "Ah, well, that was only chance. But, of course, if he had done so, he must have been taken at once into custody. That would have been all. Come on, my friends, come on. Our trouble with regard to Todd is over, I think." The 2 churchwardens of St. Dunstan's, and the beadle, and 4 of Sir Richard Blunt's officers, and the fruiterer from opposite, now came up from below the shop of Sweeney Todd, where they had all been waiting to catch Mr. Rankly when the chair should descend with him. "Convulsions," said the beetle. "I run agin everybody when I see them a-comin'. I thought to myself if a parochial authority had been served in that ere way, well, there would have been the end of the world at once."
"I had some idea of asking you at one time to play that little part for me," said Sir Richard.
"Convulsions, had you, sir?"
"Yes, but now, my friends, let us make a careful search of this house. And among the first things we have to do is to remove all the combustible materials that Todd has stowed in various parts of it. For unless I am much deceived, the premises are in such a state that the merest accident would set them ablaze."
"Convulsions!" then cried the beadle. "Oh, I ain't declared out of danger yet, then."
Please join me next time for the final chapter of Sweeney Todd, here on Stories from the Shadows. Until then, I wouldn't blame you if you leave the lights on.